Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Unending Rebuild. Excited to be back with another show for y'all on this wonderful Tuesday evening. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. As always, my name is Will Kies, coming to you with Jared Perlman and Josh Lee. Guys, say what's up.
What's up, guys? It's Jared here. Excited for another episode. This week we're getting into my guys. So I'm always happy to tell you guys about a player that I love, and I always put my money where my mouth is. I had to go and look at my top best ball guys and pick a few. So I've invested in these guys. I'm hoping that they're going to ball, and let's do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm super excited. I think I did the exact same thing as your promo, and I just went through all my best ball guys that I'm drafting every single time when they're available to me in my drafts. So I'm excited to talk about these guys. It should be fun. It should be a good episode.
Yeah. So like the guy said, we're going to be going through our my guys, meaning guys we just have good feelings about. We're going to be keeping it limited to the AFC because we already did our NFC players a few weeks ago, and excited to get into it. I think my guys are really fun too, because sometimes it's just vibes. You know, you're sticking your neck out on the line for a guy you just like, for a guy you think's going to kill it this year. So, and with that comes a rise in dynasty value. So we love to talk these guys here. And we got a couple each for you to bring to the table. And yeah, I think we can get started. So Jared, I'm putting you on the hot seat. First my guy of the day, start us off strong.
All right. Well, I thought we were going to pick a category. So I'm just going to start out with the QBs. Because, you know, fuck it. QBs are the boys. They're the top dogs. And you know, there's a lot of great QBs in the AFC. It was a hard decision because it's like all of these guys have the top ADPs. They're all great, but you know, I had to go with my boy Tua. Come on. I'm going with Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua, let's go. Let's go.
I mean, come on. Right now, like he's getting drafted behind Anthony Richardson sometimes, behind the new rookies sometimes, in dynasty leagues and in redraft. He's going behind Anthony Richardson. And I think those guys still have a bit to go before they're going to overtake Tua. Tua has a top three receiving core, really, no matter what way you look at it, which teams I think you rank. The Dolphins with Waddle and Tyreek are insane. They just have so much speed. And Waddle's only going into year three. He could be getting even better. And Tyreek doesn't really look like he's slowing down. So it's as long as Tua can stay healthy, I think he could easily put up 35, 40 plus touchdowns this year. In a healthy season, he could put up a top 6 or 7 points per game, even with all these other studs in the AFC. I think he put on like 10 to 20 pounds this offseason. So he's trying to work on those concussions, getting injured. You know, he had that concern, and that's like, I think maybe why people are still pushing him down, why the Dolphins haven't extended him long-term, but he's going to, I don't expect the concussions to be a long-term thing. Hopefully he can avoid it. That's really the only thing holding him down. I mean, he was absolutely balling last year when he was healthy. He looked great. The team was never losing. Like, they just kept winning. It was a Dolphin season. I was loving it. Unfortunately, that didn't continue, but I think this year it could be his year. They could have even a deep run in the playoffs. I like the Dolphins a lot. He's just a great playmaker to get these balls in to get the playmakers in space. He's just a great passer of the football. One of the most accurate deep ball passers, rated by almost every metric this year. So, yeah, I mean, you guys know I love Tua. I think you guys love Tua too. Maybe Kai's not quite as much, but I know you guys love Tua too.
We have to convert him. We have to fully convert him.
I like Tua. I'm higher on him.
Not as much.
Exactly. Yeah. Just not as much. Yeah. I said, like, you like him. Just not as much.
I mean, I think there's a few things to be said about Tua. There's a lot of misconceptions. I mean, I am concerned about the concussions. I don't think it's necessarily like a death sentence for his career, but I think it is a reasonable concern. I think there's also reason to think that a lot of his production comes from Tyreek Hill, comes from Jalen Waddle, but we can worry about that problem another day. And then there's also a misconception about him that he's not a good deep ball passer, which is just statistically not true. So
he was literally the number one deep ball passer in the NFL.
No, I know. That's so it's weird to me that people think he's just kind of like this like check down god who
led the league in yards per attempt too. Like, he's pushing the ball.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Constantly.
I mean, it really helps to have two of the fastest players in the league to throw it to, of course. But like, I think that's what really smart with what the Dolphins were doing. They realized they had a very accurate quarterback in Tua. Perhaps not like absurd arm strength, but when you surround him with players like Waddle and Tyreek Hill, where he's able to lead them in the proper place, they can catch it in stride and then use their speed. I mean, that's kind of what you need a quarterback to do, like almost literally. So I think people almost undersell that as him being like a game manager, but it's like, not really, you know, because like he's just doing the quarterback position really well. Sorry, he can't throw it 65, 70 yards like some of these guys can, but I don't think he has to.
Yeah, he doesn't have the rushing production, so people like just lump him in with other with kind of game managers of a lesser level. But yeah, he's got the
Reek
talent.
Reek and Waddle do the rushing for him. Exactly. Like, I mean, they get that yak, and that makes up for it.
They definitely have the best yak in the league. I mean, I don't know where the Tua can't throw it deep. I mean, literally was number one in the NFL last year in deep ball completion percentage, 50%, crazy. Number two in the NFL in red zone completion percentage, number three in QBR, number two in red zone accuracy. Like he was number one in accuracy rating versus man, number one in pass rating versus man. Like he was a stud last year, and people just like still are afraid of the concussions. He looks beefy this year. Tua looks like a thick boy. So I'm excited. Yes, he's learning jiu-jitsu apparently. So he should be good this year. I'm super excited for Tua this year too.
Glad you guys are on the train.
All right, Josh, you're up next. You got a quarterback? You got anybody? Who you want to say?
We're going to stick to the quarterback category. And my guy this season is Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, he's just
coming.
Yeah, I knew this shit was coming. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, you had to know Kenny Pickett was coming. I mean, he's my most drafted quarterback in Best Ball Mania. I take him in the 16th round, 17th round, whenever he's there. Kenny Pickett's a good player. He's a good quarterback. I mean, maybe he's not otherworldly like some of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a good player. He is underrated rushing upside. He changed the entire game of college football with his legs, with that fake slide that he pulled off in the ACC championship game, ran for like a 75-yard rushing touchdown. He's decently fast. He's decently athletic.
Made him change
the rules. I like Kenny Pickett a lot. He changed the rules. Literally, Kenny Pickett's a gamer. Like, he bends the rules in his favor. And, like, people who are gamers, they do that. Kenny Pickett's a gamer. And my investment in Kenny Pickett is mostly just an investment in Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is just one of the best coaches in the NFL. The Steelers have never had a losing record under Mike Tomlin. I expect Kenny Pickett's second year in the NFL to go even better than it did in the first year. I mean, he played okay. Obviously, didn't have the touchdowns. The offense wasn't scoring touchdowns that much. But it looked like the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, was kind of like holding the reins back on Kenny Pickett, just kind of letting him learn the NFL. And they still had a winning record. Kenny Pickett threw, what, like six, seven passing touchdowns last year? So obviously not great. But the Steelers didn't score too many touchdowns last year in general. But I expect the Steelers to kind of open up the offense for Kenny Pickett. He's got 2.5 good receivers. He's got George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, both dogs. And they brought in Allen Robinson as well. They have an elite tight end in Pat Freiermuth. So I'm excited for this entire Steelers offense. Their offensive line got better. They drafted one in the first round. And Mike Tomlin's a beast. So I expect the Steelers to actually make the playoffs this year. They had 9 wins last year. I could see them getting 10, maybe even 11 wins this year because they have a pretty solid defense. So I'm excited for Kenny Pickett. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm definitely not out on Pickett. I think there's a chance for him to definitely outperform ADP. He's kind of getting disrespected in dynasty leagues for being, you know, just in his going into his second year. People are kind of like, you know, discounting that as well. He has a lot of time to grow. Even though he is, you know, old for a sophomore quarterback. But I think I'm just concerned about those touchdowns, man. Obviously, the regression is coming. He's going to be a little bit better. But how much better is he going to get? He was like the worst starting quarterback in the league last year. Some worst touchdown percentages from other guys who didn't start the full year, like guys like Mike White and stuff like that. But I'm concerned. Hopefully George Pickens, those hands continue to translate. He's been balling in training camp, lots of hype videos, and Deontay Johnson, obviously 0 touchdowns is crazy. It's not going to happen. And I like the big Pat. So hopefully the touchdowns come up, but they're going to have to come up a bit. So I do like that he's, you know, a later drafted QB. You can get him as a steal as a second QB in your super flex leagues. But for him to really pay off, he's got to get more touchdowns. I'm just concerned.
thoughts, guys? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I Josh, you came off mute, man. You know, I thought you were going to say something. But one thing I was thinking about earlier was comparing, like, Kenny Pickett to Jordan Love. And I was just thinking about how, like, you know, they're about the same age. But Kenny Pickett has more NFL starting experience. They both have about similar draft capital. And, you know, I feel like just because Jordan Love's like an unknown, he's ranked higher than Kenny Pickett. And I'm just wondering if that's like the right process. I was literally thinking about this earlier today when I was on my run. Because, like, you know, I think when you compare the two, not to like make this a Jordan Love conversation, but I'm just curious for y'all's thoughts, is that, you know, Kenny Pickett, I think, is a better receiver core around him generally, especially when you include the tight ends, better coaching, maybe not better running backs, but, you know, probably a worse offensive line. So, like, do you think that, like, Pickett should be higher than Jordan Love, considering, you know, Pickett has the experience, but he didn't look great in that experience? And Josh, I was wondering where your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think, like, when they allowed Kenny Pickett to actually, like, run the offense and, like, push the ball downfield, he looked pretty good. I mean, like, it looked like the first three quarters they would just run the ball a ton. And Najee Harris was kind of banged up. The offensive line wasn't great last year, so it would be like a pretty inefficient offense. But then in the fourth quarter, like when it mattered, they would win the game because Kenny Pickett would have an amazing 2-minute drill to close the game. And he had, what, 2-3 game-winning touchdowns last year with like 10, 20 seconds left on the clock. So like when they allowed him to play and like run an actual NFL offense, he looked pretty good. People were hating on the Matt Canada offense last year. They threw a lot of hit routes, a lot of nines. Just makes it seem like they kind of simplified the offense for Kenny Pickett in his rookie season. I think they're going to kind of open up the playbook, allow Deontay Johnson to kind of run underneath, let George Pickens run a little bit of a deeper route tree. And I expect Kenny Pickett to take a pretty big step forward this season. I'm really excited for the Steelers offense. I think that they're going to be much improved from last year. And I think this offense has a ton of upside and their ADPs do not reflect that.
Yeah, I think a lot of my faith in Pickett comes from Mike Tomlin. I think Tomlin will be able to like create an atmosphere where he'll be able to thrive. And I agree with you. I think that last year that the offense was really buttoned up, a lot of just short stuff. And a lot of that was probably due to Canada. A lot of it was probably due to the bad offensive line play too. You just want to get the ball out of there and simplify things for Pickett. But I think you're right that this year they should open it up. You know, you can't just keep, you know, babying him for the first couple of years. He's got to learn. And they got a couple of talented receivers, like you mentioned, to be able to facilitate that. So, you know, I'm optimistic for Pickett. There was never any buzz that the Steelers were into getting another quarterback or in the market or anything like that, or everyone happy with Pickett. So, and, you know, back to his Pittsburgh days, you know, I like the arm talent too, you know, so I still like Pickett too. Yeah, I agree.
I actually think that's an interesting question. I think the Packers could be a dark horse for one of the worst teams in the league and picking a quarterback this year early. So I think there's definitely a chance, or there's a real possibility that, you know, Pickett is staying there long term. The Steelers, they never have losing record. Mike Tomlin doesn't do that. They're not picking high in the draft. And if the Packers do, Love gets replaced and Pickett stays a quarterback. So I like Pickett as a higher value for sure in Dynasty. And they, you know, may be similar depending on garbage time kind of scores and touchdown numbers. But I think Pickett could have a more secure job there for sure.
But you're saying the Packers aren't going to run into their third straight Hall of Fame quarterback? That's not going to happen. Is what
they
you're
might. It's possible. It's po- that's might. What the pattern
they
is.
Just might.
That's what the pattern is.
They just might. They just might. Right. I'm going to take the under on his Hall of Fame career, but we'll see.
We'll see. I'll take the over.
Okay. All right. We can make this bet. You want to take Jordan Love over on career Hall of Fame? I mean, like, I'll give you whatever odds really you want. I mean,
I'm just making over 1.5 Hall of
Fame. Over 0.9 Hall of Fame.
He makes it as a coach, too.
He might. Shit. Long term. It's a long term bet.
All right. Any other thoughts on the pick, man?
No.
Dog. Good thought. All right. My quarterback, my guy, is someone who is very good and someone valued very highly, but I think it's going to be your last chance to possibly try to acquire this player. And I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. Clearly, Justin Herbert is a good football player. Clearly, Justin Herbert is well-liked in NFL circles. Justin Herbert has first-round startup ADP. So obviously he's a good player. But for me, I think he's going to really take a next step and solidify himself this year even further. And the reason why I say this is that I think that not everyone's super in tune and confident with Herbert after last year. But all of those things were due to factors that are outside of Herbert's control that just suppresses his value now enough that I think you can go and make a package to acquire him by including like a back end QB1 and like XYZ to go and get Justin Herbert from their owner. Because, you know, he played with that rib cartilage issue last year. So he was literally playing in pain all year. His whole team was hurt. And I was doing some digging into some of the passing statistics that the Chargers had last year. And the main thing that stood out to me is that in Justin Herbert's passes, the Chargers were 31st in the league in air yards per attempt, which is just like really low. It was like 6.3 or something like that, like really low. Just dump off city. I think part of that was due to Lombardi and his just like boring ass offense. And part of it due to wanting to get out of Herbert's hands quickly so he didn't take too many hits because of the injury. But I got faith in Kellen Moore in his system to throw the ball down the field. The Cowboys were 11th last year, or Dak Prescott was 11th last year in throwing in air yards down the field per attempt. And clearly he's going to recover from the injury. The team's going to be healthy, hopefully, again, because, like, you know, last week I talked about the Chargers' history of injury problems. They brought in Quentin Johnson, so he has yet another weapon to utilize, and I think they'll utilize Gerald Everett a bit more. They still have Eckler. And I think that although Herbert's really highly valued now, I think he'll propel himself into, like, the top three, probably, like, solidify himself as the third-best quarterback, go past guy like Joe Burrow, and really become, like, unattainable after this year and enter that unattainable tier. That's my thought on Herbert. So, all, like I said, valued high, moving into unattainable because of those factors into next year.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, like, low air yards per target comes from the fact that their receivers were hurt a lot, and so they got the ball into Eckler's hands, and so those are more short passes, and I expect, you know, the number of targets Eckler sees to come down a bit with Quentin Johnson now, and hopefully the receiver's healthy. But, you know, I think it's tough because Herbert's so highly valued. I mean, 2 years ago, he threw for 5,000 yards in his second year in the NFL. He had 38 touchdowns. Like, I mean, he probably is going to be better than this. And I don't, like, I wouldn't sell him, but shoot, I mean, go out and offer. Like, I just don't know who's selling Justin Herbert, but I should probably be drafting Herbert more in like the fifth round. I mean, he has a great chance to be QB1, QB2, QB3. Like, but yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit for Herbert. I don't know if anyone would trade him for a low asset right now because he's just an absolute dog, what he did in his second year. And hopefully people aren't undervaluing that because he was hurt last year. I know obviously his points, you know, reflected he wasn't the number two or three or four QB, but he will be when he's healthy with this offense, new coordinator, extra weapons. Like, it's going to be deadly. And it's going to be hard to acquire him probably as well. So. But yeah, he's a dog.
Hey, I'm excited for Justin Herbert too. I mean, people are sleeping. Like, Herbert was what, QB2 2 years ago, I think, in fantasy.
As a second year player.
I wouldn't honestly, like, yeah, as a second year player, he had 462 points, was QB2. In his only 3 years in the NFL, 4,300 passing yards, 5,000, 4,700. Like, he's a dog. He gets a lot of passing yards. I'm curious to see how Kellen Moore utilizes him this season, because Justin Herbert definitely is a more talented quarterback than Dak Prescott. So I'm excited to see what Kellen Moore does with Justin Herbert this year. I honestly, it's hard for me to see Justin Herbert finishing as a top four or five quarterback this season, unless one of the other top five quarterbacks gets hurt. Maybe Joe Burrow getting hurt and missing games could push Justin Herbert into the top five. But I'm really interested to see how the Kellen Moore, Justin Herbert combo works this year. Because in previous years, the Chargers have been the fastest paced offense in the entire NFL. And that has helped the entire Cowboys fantasy points, Justin Herbert included. So I'm curious to see how Justin Herbert's stats play out, if they're trying to like win games a little bit more and not necessarily just like play terrible defense first half and just like throw the shit out of the ball in the second half, because that's like what they've done a bunch in the past. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see what happens, because I think 2 years ago the Chargers defense was kind of bad, and Justin Herbert got a lot of garbage time, or just like comeback sort of football where they're running like hurry up offense and just chucking the ball down the field. So the Chargers defense is kind of good this year. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious to see how it plays out for them.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the team like situations could change a lot, but I think you're discounting what he did that second year. His second year performance of 394 points is 30 more than Joe Burrow did last year, 30 more than his best season ever. Herbert, you know, I don't think is as good of a quarterback as Joe Burrow, but I do think that he could put up more fantasy points easily with them both being healthy. Their receiver cores are similar, not to disrespect T and Jamar, but the Chargers have a great receiving core, especially adding another first round receiver and Eckler as well. I do think that Herbert and Burrow's already hurt, unfortunately. I do think Herbert could see more points this year than Burrow, even healthy. He did it. He's put up a better season than Burrow ever has already. So I think, you know, his style just lends to airing the ball out. But maybe if the situation changes and the defense is a bit better, maybe they stop. But he's had over 4,000, over 4,300 yards every single year of his career. He gets yards. Duke and ball.
Yeah, and I think, Jared, what you said there about Burrow being better than Herbert to me kind of encapsulates what I'm trying to say, because I think Herbert's a better quarterback than Joe Burrow. And, you know, I know we talk about my guys being a lot of vibes, so that might be just more of a, like a pick your guy kind of thing. And I'm not going to like say you're wrong necessarily. It's just more of a my opinion thing, because I think Herbert has a stronger arm. I think he can make different types of throws than Burrow can. And I think his pocket management is better. Joe Burrow takes so many sacks, and oftentimes that can be a quarterback stat too. So I mean, he's throwing to T and Jamar, which is
Hurt. Joe Burrow already made the Super Bowl. I don't even think this should be an argument personally. I mean, Joe Burrow already made the Super Bowl with the Bengals. Like, the Chargers have always been a pretty good team, and the Bengals were garbage.
Jimmy Garoppolo, like, man. I mean, dude, he's better than Justin Herbert, too.
The 49ers are consistently great. Like, consistently a great team, head coach. You hate the Bengals. And then Joe Burrow comes out there and balls.
I hate the Bengals. Dude.
Yeah, I feel like you're always complaining about the coaching staff and, like, Mixon and all that.
Zach Taylor annoys me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you hate Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor. I like everyone.
Exactly.
Else.
So the
Joe
head coach.
Okay, so
like,
why don't you hate Brandon Staley? Brandon Staley is a garbage coach.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. It's entirely. Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, I do think that Herbert is a better out and out quarterback than Joe Burrow is. Josh, Herbert.
I would take Burrow. What would you trade for Justin Herbert?
In what situation? If I had Burrow?
In Dynasty. No. What would you trade for Justin Herbert? Sean Carroll wants four firsts for Justin Herbert. Would you pay that?
If I had four firsts, I'd consider it, yeah.
Well, your next four firsts. I mean,
you have like you have Anthony Richardson. What would you put on top of Anthony Richardson or Trevor Lawrence per se?
I mean,
for Herbert.
Herbert is that good. Like, would you not trade Lawrence?
Well,
plus
I'm thinking that Herbert would get that good, so I'm not going to trade additional value because I have a hunch that Herbert's going to transcend a tier. So that said, if I had Anthony Richardson, I think Anthony Richardson is overvalued right now. I think he's being valued at like where people think he's going to like, you know, play for his career. It's close to that. And not really accounting for the negative scenario, which is also likely. But I would pay like Richardson and like a first and like another strong player or something like that. I don't really know.
What if he asked for Richardson and three firsts? Would you do it?
No, I wouldn't do that. Richardson
and two firsts. Would you do that?
I think that's a conversation. Yeah. I think that's a good starting place. You know, I mean, I don't, have a 24 first even. So like it would be tough to like you like I don't know if you'd want to do like a 25 and then 26 first, but well, I think would you I would do have those to consider
two?
that.
Yeah, and
would you
yeah,
do those two plus Richardson?
Yeah, I think I'd have to consider that. I think it would be probably a pretty smart process. It would be tough to do just because like Anthony Richardson has such amazing physical tools that just like exciting, you know? But from a process perspective, I think it would be a pretty solid process.
I mean, I feel like you're not hyping up your guy here, but like, I feel like you should do that.
Like, well, no, I'm hyping him up, but I'm not going to pay over market value because I have a hunch that something's going to happen.
Well, he's a top, he's already a first round asset, and you're trying,
yeah,
like you're saying he's going to be untouchable. Why would you not trade?
I think he's going to be, it's going to be like Patrick Mahomes and then Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. I think that's how it's going to be tiered at the end of the year.
So, I mean, Anthony Richardson in two makes sense to me. I don't know in that scenario.
So, you think Justin Herbert, QB3 this year? That's where you have him?
Dynasty, yeah.
Dynasty.
I mean, he'd have to perform at QB3 level in order to be there. I mean, Jalen Hurts is going to be QB3. He's not just going to jump Jalen Hurts if he's not
or
as
Lamar.
Good as Jalen Hurts or Lamar.
Top three QB.
If he's not better than those guys, he's not just going to jump them.
Okay.
Or shit, even if Fields goes out and balls like a Jalen Hurts sort of season, Fields could do it too.
Yeah, they could. I'm just saying, I think Herbert will end up being that guy.
Okay.
So he's going to do it this year.
Do what? Like, I don't think
QB3
finishes QB3 to be the quarterback three in Dynasty.
What? Really? So you'd have him over Jalen Hurts even if Jalen Hurts finishes his QB3 this year behind Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes?
I think you could, because you could think of how their playing styles differ. You could think that Herbert's has longer longevity.
Consensus.
All right.
Consensus? I don't know. I mean, that depends. If like 55% people think this, 45% people think that. I mean,
would you consider trading Jalen Hurts for Herbert?
Straight up? Yeah.
If I had Jalen Hurts, would I trade Herbert? Would I try to get Herbert?
Yeah.
I'd consider it, yeah.
Straight would up, you do it straight up?
I think so. All
right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going for your guy. That's definitely going for your guy.
That answer. Yeah,
are you all satisfied?
Yeah, I'm satisfied.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just wanted a evaluation.
Yeah,
an answer. Right. You're going on the fence here.
Yeah.
Well, and I are trying to get an evaluation out of you.
I was never on the fence. Come on.
We just couldn't get a solid answer, but I'm happy with it. Let's move on. Let's go to the wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean,
let's go to the wide receiver. We're moving on, guys. We're moving on.
Y'all are mean.
No, I just wanted to know. You didn't want to give us.
Yeah, change. I wanted a definitive answer.
Well, like I said, though, like if I just because I like hype a guy up and think he's going to do well at the end of the year, that doesn't like if I think like let's say like Jameson Williams is going to be like a number one receiver by the end of the year, I wouldn't go out and trade 2-3 first for Jameson Williams right now. I mean,
I think that's different though because JMO hasn't done it, and Herbert's already a QB, has been
QB2.
Herbert's
like,
you have
been
to pay
QB2.
He's a first round.
So then, why is it so damn controversial?
I just wanted to know. You just didn't answer a question.
You didn't answer definitively.
You just wanted to know what you would pay for.
I was trying to think what I would pay for. Okay.
Well,
so we were just trying to figure it out.
You got to put your money where your mouth is. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Somebody else go with wide receiver.
Let me go try to trade for Herbert. I'll be back.
Somebody else go for.
Josh, go with your receiver. I can't talk anymore. Or tight end, or running back. I don't really care.
Should I go running back or wide receiver? Paul, you said wide receiver.
I didn't do a wide receiver, so I was in for a wide receiver.
All right.
Running back.
Yeah.
Okay. My guy for running back. I have two. I technically have four, but I'll go with the guy that I have the most exposure to. And that is King Henry. Derrick Henry is going to be an absolute
pick someone else. That was
beast.
Mine.
Okay, I'll pick someone else. You can take King Henry.
He's a beast.
King Henry's a goddamn animal.
What would you trade for him right now?
I would trade a first for Derrick Henry. Najee Harris is my pick then. It's just going the same vibes of Kenny Pickett. Betting on Mike Tomlin, betting on the Steelers. Najee Harris is he's going to be a dog this year. I mean, in one of my dynasty leagues last year, Najee Harris someone traded two firsts for Najee Harris, and he underperformed pretty significantly last year. He's pretty inefficient. He was dealing with that plantar fasciitis. I know that that's a pretty nagging injury. I think he was playing with a metal plate in his foot too. That's all good. He is fully healthy this season. The Steelers upgraded their offensive line. I expect the Steelers as a whole, their offense to be improved, to them to score more touchdowns. And Najee Harris, the offense is going to run through Najee Harris. The Steelers always use a bell cow running back, and they Mike Tomlin runs each of his running backs into the ground in their rookie contracts. So I expect Najee Harris to be no different, especially weighing at, what, 245 pounds. Najee Harris will be able to shoulder the workload, expect him to score a decent amount of touchdowns. Najee Harris is my guy at running back for the AFC for 2023.
I'm sorry that I made you switch, but I appreciate it. Najee, absolutely, like he's super underrated.
I was prepared. I was prepared.
Absolute unit, like 245. Like this man is a beast, and people kind of forget about that and are sleeping on him. Like he's just a third year back, 25 years old, and people are already kind of over him because he wasn't a top, you know, five back already. But
and people paid first rounders last year.
Yeah, like just last year, I traded Najee away for Pittman in a first. And then made some moves with those assets too. I think, you know, Najee's worth a lot in real draft, like in real leagues. People will pay for Najee's production. He's going to put up numbers. The Steelers are a good team. We just talked about them, but we love Mike Tomlin and what he's able to do. If Pickett can't score touchdowns, Najee's going to score touchdowns because they're going to get touchdowns. They just win games. They're a great team. And I do expect them to get at least pretty close to the playoffs, if not making it, because there are some great teams out there in the AFC, but the Steelers are one of them. And Najee's going to take a lot of this load. Jalen Warren will get some, but not as much as people think, I think, because Najee is just a great running back. They drafted him highly. He's big, he's strong, and he's fast. So I like Najee for sure. People are kind of sleeping on him, feels like.
What I'm gathering right now is that Josh likes the Steelers a lot. And also that he listened to our AFC North episode where Josh was out of town. So I think Jared and I spent a good amount of time talking about Najee Harris and how he's a value right now. And it's like a similar narrative in a way to the Herbert thing that I was talking about, because it's a guy that was just played injured last year and wasn't as good. And everyone's like, oh, this guy's not good anymore. Not with Herbert, but people think that Najee is not like as effective as he will be. It's like a foot issue is a big deal, especially when your job is to run the football. And I think also the idea that Warren was effective last year too kind of plays into that, the continuing to undervalue Najee. But I mean, Tomlin has a history of just like feeding the guy the rock. So my love of Najee is well documented, and he's got that first round draft capital, which is helpful with running back with a fifth year option. So yeah, makes sense to me.
All right, I'll just go ahead with mine since I kind of blew it.
Yeah, who is it, Jared?
It's Derrick Henry. I know. Big surprise. Crazy. Who would have thought? But, damn. I mean, come on. That dude was just a beast last year, and I think people are still forgetting. Even last year, he had over 1,900 scrimmage yards. He had 1,500 rushing yards and 400 receiving yards on only 33 catches. If this man gets even more involved in the receiving game, it's a possibility. I really don't see Tyjae Spears as being the receiving back. He might come and spell Henry early in the year, but we all know the King gets better as the season goes along. And I think also well documented on the pod is that Tennessee plays Houston in week 17 and Derrick Henry obliterates Houston, averages like 200 yards and two or three touchdowns. He just absolutely destroys Houston every single time. So he's a league winner in the championship week if you have him, but just, yeah, I mean, there's no reason that his dynasty value should be in like the sixth round. His ADP and underdog is like mid to late second. He was going third early in the offseason. He's a late first round pick right now in like sleeper leagues and redraft and in, single QB leagues. And he was a top two or three guy like every single year before this. Derrick Henry is an absolute beast. Like, I just think people sleep on that. And now they get D-Hop coming in. This is their best receiving core they've had since A.J. Brown and Corey Davis were there. They could be even better than that because I think Treylon should be better than Corey Davis. Maybe not this year, but I'm hoping. Corey Davis was the wide receiver 30 in 2020, and A.J. Brown was the wide receiver 12. And Derrick Henry still ran for 2,000 yards. that like that man is an absolute beast. He can produce even when there's elite wide receiver talent on the field. He also faced the lowest stack box rate of 8+ defenders in the box that year of 28%. He was at like 38% this year. It was his highest of his career, and he still had 1,500 rushing yards and 1,900 scrimmage yards. So I think Derrick Henry could easily be a top three running back again this year. He could easily be the top running back. He's been the top running back in points per game multiple years. He is an absolute beast, and people are kind of forgetting about that. I drafted him at the start of the second round today in underdog because, you know, I just realized I should be. He's a beast. What do you guys think? Obviously, Josh agrees, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't really know what to add. The only positive thing to me, not the only positive thing, but one thing I want to add is like it's clear that the Titans are looking to compete this year with adding Hopkins. Tim Hill's going to be the guy, so I think it's just the same strategy to give King Henry the rock, and even had more receiving work last year too. So I'd love to see that continue. I don't know why they never really used him in the screen game as much. It's not like he like doesn't have like any hands. Because, like, just getting that dude, like, with, like, three offensive linemen in front of him in open space and watching him plow over some defensive backs, I mean, seems like a pretty smart strategy to me. I'd love to see him return punts one day, just as a side note. Just, I think that would just be fun, just, like, run straight. Like, no side to side. But, yeah, we're deviating here. But a great pickup for a contender. You know, I think you could throw out your late first and go get that man.
I love Derrick Henry. He's going to be so good. I mean, it's the freaking king. Like, in Best Ball Mania, if his ADP was the back end of the first round, I would still draft Derrick Henry at the back end of the first round. Like, Derrick Henry is an absolute stud. I actually expect the Tennessee Titans to win the AFC South. Last year, before Ryan Tannehill got hurt, the Titans were 7-3. And running away with the AFC South. They closed the season on a 7-game win streak. 7-game losing streak. Finished after starting 7-3, they finished the season 7-10. The Jacksonville Jaguars did the exact opposite. They were 3-7 through 10 weeks, and then they finished the season on a 6-7-game win streak, and they won the division in that last game. Derrick Henry's a beast. This entire offense is gonna be opened up a ton more because I'm honestly like with the Titans, it's gonna be a pick your own poison sort of thing where you can stack the box. Diop and Traylon Burks are going to burn you. You can play cover two. Derrick Henry's going to burn you. The Titans offense, I expect to be actually really, really good this season. And this is going to be a typical Mike Vrabel team. They're going to pound the rock. Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter is going to destroy, absolutely decimate teams, especially once it gets cold. Nobody's going to want to tackle Derrick Henry. Expect Derrick Henry to absolutely go off this year. Super excited for him.
All righty. Well, let me get into my guy. And, you know, I decided that I did it last year. I'm going to do it again this year. My running back, my guy, is Damian Pierce. I got to go back to the well, get me some more Damian Pierce love. I think, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's a day three running back. Like, oh, he's going to get his job replaced. But yes, I get it. But I think sometimes running backs are like products of like the system. And some running backs are products of being good talent. You know, you still get day three running backs who have jobs in the NFL for a long time or undrafted guys. They exist, you know, like Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, just to name a couple. And it happens, and that's okay. And I think when you look into the data and the stats and look at how, and even just the film, you could see that Damian Pierce is just a good football player. And why would they deviate that from that? And I think they showed him a lot of love this offseason. I mean, I just, from following texts and stuff, they like advertised him as like a star on the team. They only brought in Devin Singletary to like replace the outgoing Freeman, like, and Rex Burkhead, whoever. And I think Devin Singletary is a fine football player, but he's not going to like, I don't think he's going to like take a bulk of the work from Damian Pierce. You look at, I was looking at some Damian Pierce stats last year. Obviously, the Texans were horrible, and they ran the offense through him, basically. And he had he averaged, when he ran the ball, 0.3 yards before contact. 0.3 yards on every run, and still nearly broke 1,000 yards in, like, 12 or 13 games. Nuts. And after, until he got that ankle injury at the end of the year. And he Also had broke tackles at the second highest rate last year in the NFL and had third in yards accrued after first contact in the NFL. So this dude was getting met like at the line at an average pace and was still getting like 4 yards a carry. And he's just a really good football player. I still think he's even underutilized in the passing game. I think he could do more of a shift there. And now they have the new offensive coordinator coming in from San Francisco. Then we're doing that Shanahan-style zone running scheme, an offense which is historically known to emphasize running the ball, and I think Pierce fits so well into that. And lastly, the offensive line's only going to improve. And I think the dynasty community is smarter to the fact that, you know, don't overhype a day three running back. And I think that's generally a good rule to follow. Like guys like Elijah Mitchell, you see, just get depressed in value. Things like that happen all the time. But I think when you take that context and see Damien Pierce as a good football player rather than a product of the system, you can almost see it as like a buy window because his value in his perception is lower. Like I remember earlier in the offseason when I was kind of sucked into like, you know, the day three running back stuff and everything like that and didn't really look into it. I like lightly shot Pierce around and people didn't even want to pay like a late first. They would pay like an early second for him. And I was just like, I don't really see that being worth it to me. And I'm glad that I didn't entertain that at all because I just think it's some Damien Pierce disrespect. I think he's a really good player that's there to stay. And it's not like a flash in the pan like some other day three running backs.
Yeah, I wasn't actually expecting to like Damien Pierce's ranking. I figured he would be a bit lower and keep trade cut. He's like right below Derek, above Miles, Sharb, JK, James Cook, and Rashad White. I think you might be able to go acquire Damien for some of those guys, though. And I think I'd give up, I'd say all those guys for Damien. I think Damien is in a great position right now with the Texans. I do think that they showed him love by not bringing any serious competition in. Devin Singletary obviously has had a decent amount of work in his past, and I think, you know, they will use him, but I think Damien is going to, you know, obviously he's not going to challenge Damien for the lead back role. Damien should keep that and hopefully will get better in the passing game. There was a clip coming out recently, you know, a nice little extension turnaround fade in the back of the end zone.
Moss that dude.
We need some more of that. We need some more of that. But yeah, I actually like where his ranking is. I don't think he should really be any higher or any lower, but I do think in some people's mind, maybe some of those dynasty owners out there, because he didn't finish too highly last year and he is a fourth round back. I like Stroud, so I do like the Texans. I'm up on them. So yeah, I like the pick for sure.
And you did mention his keep trade cut rating, which is I'm glad you brought that up because I thought it was like oddly high compared to how I've seen him being valued in like startups or just even like the trade market. So maybe there are pockets of people like me who are still like Damien Pierce is the guy. Maybe it's like some circles like being too smart about the day three running back thing and others not being aware or not considering as much. But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I missed it. What was Damien Pierce's keep trade cut rating?
He was like 17, yeah, right below 17. Derek, okay, above that's like Miles Sharps, JK Cook. But yeah, it's a good rating, I thought.
That feels about right, honestly, for Damien Pierce, like RB 17, because like that's probably what he'll finish as this year, honestly. Right in that like middling RB 2 sort of range. I think what was he last year? He was RB 13 last year, something like that.
About
high end RB 2 sort of thing. I kind of expect last year to be his peak season, just because the entire offense was only Damien Pierce. Like there were no other running backs. There was no pass game. It was literally just give the ball to Damien Pierce, let him make plays. They did bring in Devin Singletary. They have CJ Stroud now. They'll probably be pushing the ball downfield a little bit more. Damien Pierce will definitely benefit from the offense being higher scoring. So he'll probably put up a similar fantasy production as last year. But I do see the other side of the coin where like Damien Pierce, he'll be a very consistent, like 10 to 20 points every single week where like you can feel really good about having him in your lineup because he'll put up a consistent double digits every single week. But there are, like, I kind of envision like after his rookie contract, he might not be putting up the numbers that you necessarily want to see from a guy that you're going to be paying a first for. But he doesn't necessarily have like the top high end upside of like a Derrick Henry, who could potentially finish as RB1. So there's that side of the coin too, where paying a first for a guy who doesn't really have top five potential is a little bit tough.
Yeah, but he's also like much younger than Derrick Henry. So some people might view that as like, you know, if Pierce has another strong year this year, ends as like a back end running back one in a more efficient offense, is healthier throughout the year, that could be worth more than like one more year of Derrick Henry, depending on the type of situation that you're in.
That's definitely fair.
I hear you entirely. Like, I'm not saying this is anything guaranteed, but I was looking for like who I wanted to make my guy, and I just felt like just because he was a day three guy doesn't mean we should be discounting him. Doesn't mean he's just another, like, he's not just going to play like this year and no more ever again. And I think that's baked into his value somewhat. And I think when you look into the numbers, you know, I think he had a very similar rookie year to like maybe like a Javonte Williams type, someone like that. Kind of.
Well, he had a much better year than Javonte Williams his rookie year.
Yeah. And Javonte Williams was taken, what, third round, right?
Javonte Williams was a second round pick. I think it was back in second round.
Yeah, he was second round.
Okay. Yeah, but like Javonte Williams was bordering on like running back one last year, you know. So it was just interesting little idea that I had, and I thought Damian Pierce, you know, could quietly be a solid running back, more solid than he is.
Javonte's rookie year was better than Damian's. I mean, he played the full year, but he finished higher. For the record,
what was Javonte's rookie season?
Javonte in PPR was 17, and Damian was like 28, but Damian missed like four games. So,
okay, so it's so probably Damian, about
Damian. Damian had higher points per game, maybe.
I don't know. I don't have that.
But it was probably about similar.
Yeah, it was probably pretty similar. Okay.
Yeah.
Draft. The only difference really is that Javonte Williams was drafted two rounds ahead, and they had very similar rookie years. Okay, let's move on. Let's get into our wide receivers. Jared, I think you had your hand raised. I think I saw on camera.
I want to go because sticking with the Texans theme, and my guy this year is John Metchie.
I thought it was gonna be
Metchie. Let's go.
I thought we got Metchie.
Sorry,
no,
guys.
I knew it was gonna be John Metchie. John Metchie's a dog.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Look, Nico is right now the wide receiver one. If you look at the Texans depth chart, it shows Robert Woods starting. It shows Noah Brown starting. I get it. But if you look at the Falcons depth chart, it also shows that Cordarrelle Patterson is starting and Tyler Allgeier is the second string and Bijan Robinson as a reserve. So give it some time. John Metchie was the 12th pick of the second round last year. Obviously, there were concerns with his ACL that he tore in the SEC championship game right prior to the draft. And he still went in the second round, early second round, 212. This dude put up great numbers in college. He obviously didn't quite compete with Jameson Williams' yardage, but he still had a 23% target share on the field with JMO. He caught 96 passes for 1,140 yards and 8 touchdowns as a junior. He came out early, which you love. And this room is wide open. I know that Robert Woods got money, but he did not look anything like his old self. I think it's more great to have a veteran receiver there to help him learn the game. But Metchie will take over in his spot and be a starter sooner rather than later. I think this team is built for the young future that they want. And John Metchie is going in like the 16th, 17th round. You can't find a single other second round wide receiver anywhere close usually to that. Obviously, Jaden Reed is right now sort of in a similar area, but I'm also all in on Jaden Reed, too. If this was an NFC episode, I'd have to consider him, too. But anyway, John Metchie, absolute dog. He's a great route runner. He comes in with a super accurate rookie quarterback. People just kind of have completely forgotten about him because of the cancer that he unfortunately had last year. It didn't allow him to step on the field, but he's fully healthy now. He's out there at training camp, and man, I'm ready for John Mechie to skyrocket. I think there's no reason he should be valued like at, you know, basically second to last round in redraft leagues right now. So go get you some John Mechie.
I am so excited for John Mechie. It's absurd where he's going in Best Ball Mania right now. He's being massively undervalued in dynasty leagues. He caught 100 passes at Bama. That's impressive. Other wide receivers that have caught 100 passes at Bama have typically gone in the first round and had pretty successful NFL careers. John Mechie went in the second round. Okay, he goes a little bit later than some of the other Bama pass catchers, just because maybe he's not as athletic or not as physically gifted as some of those other receivers. But it's John Mechie. He was a phenomenal college talent, and I'm excited for him this year. I think he's going to emerge as the Texans wide receiver one too. So I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I think when you look at like late round, not in the NFL draft, but like late round, like ADP guys, you look for reasons. And I think the types of reasons that you see with Mechie are reasons that you should take the risk and that the reward could be much higher than where the ADP is. You know, for obvious reasons, he hasn't played much recently, but like the talent was of a first round wide receiver, you know, before the ACL tear. So you can just take, it's a pretty cheap bet to take, I think. And unfortunately then, like we all know, he had the cancer diagnosis and thankfully he's doing better from that. I'm curious to know how his rehab was able to continue during that time of treatment. I hope that they were able to like adequately, you know, rehab the knee to make sure it's not scar tissue. Things like that. I mean, I don't know if that's even like publicly available. I'd probably doubt that it is. But I mean, the talent was there. Now he's 2 years removed from an ACL tear, and I mean, might as well take like a pretty cheap shot at it. And Jerry, I'm curious, like in terms of rookie pick value, let's say you had a late 2024 second round pick, would you pay that for Mechie, or do you think we're talking third rounders?
No, I'm definitely paying a late second. Most of my teams are ass right now, unfortunately.
But I don't really either pay a late second for him.
Early third it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That early third, I'm sending that out for Mechie for sure. Hopefully the teams get better and I can send out a late second here soon, before he blows up. But
yeah, late second's about right for him.
Yeah, I'd pay that for sure. He went early second in the NFL draft. Dude, I think he's got the talent. People, you know, it's been that long for Calvin Ridley, for J-Mo, since they've really seen the field. Obviously, J-Mo played a bit, but, you know, what did he do? Those guys, you know, it's been a long time, and Calvin Ridley's got third-round ADP. J-Mo's got, like, 10th-round ADP, and Mechie's got 17th-round ADP. Obviously, you got second-round draft capital in the NFL draft versus first-round draft capital for both those guys. But I think, you know, Mechie is similar to those guys, you know, just a little bit, you know, less physically gifted, but still very talented. And there's like, that's a huge ADP gap that you get to exploit for just a small drop in physical gifts. So, yeah.
Great. And to keep it in the AFC South, since we've gone from Derrick Henry to Pierce to Mechie, I'm going to bring it on to Jacksonville, and I'm going to talk about my tight end, my guy, and that's Evan Engram. I was looking up at Keep Trade Cut today, just going through like lists of players to see like who I was kind of higher on consensus. Would you believe he's the number 12 tight end in Keep Trade Cut? Like, it's just astounding to me that like that people don't realize that he's a good receiving tight end and that like the Doug Peterson system fits him perfectly. I mean, I'm going to keep this short because I think it's quite obvious. But if you're able to tear down from like a Dalton Schultz maybe or something like that and try to get Evan Engram, I doubt that would actually happen. But now that Ingram's been like paid, he's solidified in Jacksonville. He's solidified with Trevor Lawrence, solidified in the Doug Peterson offense that always loves to use tight ends. And I'm guessing his value is a bit cheaper because Ridley came in and they're like, you know, that's going to take away some targets. I really don't think that's that big of a concern. I think it's just going to make the offense better. If anything, it'll make the targets more valuable for Engram. And Engram finished last year on an absolute tear, you know? Like, I don't really get why he's valued so low. And he's still pretty young for a tight end. I mean, what is he, like 27, 28 maybe? which is like very young for a tight end. He's 28 exactly. I don't really get why he's being valued so low still. I think there's a clear intention to use him in that Jacksonville system. And man, I'm buying it up at tight end 12 numbers. I have someone like Sam Laporta right now who's like tight end 9. And am I selling like Sam Laporta for Evan Ingram? Like, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Damn, this is the first my guy, which I fully disagree on. I don't like Evan Ingram at all at cost. All
right.
It's interesting because I think, tight end 12, like Evan Ingram's not going to be doing anything for you. I don't think he's someone you really want to acquire, especially in managed leagues. Like, because I think that Jacksonville offense is going to be really tough to predict week from week. And like Evan Ingram might go for 20 one week and then zero the next. He has the touchdown upside. He has the pass catching upside for sure. But introducing Calvin Ridley into this offense just throws such a big wrench into everything. Because Calvin Ridley, he's going to command probably like 130, 140 targets on this team. And that's probably going to eat majorly into Evan Engram's and Zay Jones' targets. It's tough because I think Christian Kirk, they're already paying Christian Kirk out the ass. So they're definitely going to get his targets are probably pretty safe. And it seems like Trevor Lawrence trusts Christian Kirk the most out of any other player in that Jacksonville receiving room. So it's very interesting because I think the introduction of Calvin Ridley might be a little bit understated right now because he's still on a rookie contract. He's not getting paid all that much, but it's still Calvin Ridley. He's still a dog. So Evan Engram is probably the third, maybe even fourth target on Jacksonville. Doesn't feel the best, honestly. And like, I wouldn't trade Laporta straight up for Evan Engram. I would definitely be on the side of Laporta because Laporta in the first 6 weeks is probably going to be the second target for Jared Goff. I expect the Lions to actually put up decent numbers even while J-Mo is out, and Laporta is going to be a huge benefactor of that. So I don't love Evan Engram. I'm curious what Perlman thinks.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely make a compelling case, but it's interesting. I mean, Michael Mayer is above Engram too, who I drafted above Laporta. I think I would trade both of them for Evan Engram. I think that Trevor Lawrence has really 100-plus passing attempt room to grow. He, let's see, hold on, I just had it up. Let me bring it
back. How many times did he throw last year?
Yeah, Trevor only threw 584 times last year. I could see that.
That's a lot.
I mean, yeah, it is a lot, but I could see that number approaching a Justin Herbert like 700 number. With the weapons that they have,
700.
Yeah, I could.
So you think the Jags are going to be one of the top three passing teams in the NFL this year?
I think they could be very close to it. Yeah, I see that their defense can consistently give up points.
Bigsby though,
with Peterson's offense, they love the quick stuff too, quick short stuff. And that's where Lawrence excels too. So I think a lot of that quick short stuff will just help increase those attempts too. And I just still think that Peterson loves using his tight end and used him last year. And I mean, of course, Ridley's coming in, but I don't think Zay Jones is approaching near the amount of targets he got last year either.
I don't think he's going to completely disappear though. I think Zay Jones, how many targets did he have last year? He had 121 targets last year. He'll probably get like 90 this year.
I could see like 80-ish and then Trevor gaining like 50 so passes. I think Evan Engram was a top five target getter at the tight end position last year with like 90.
He had 98 targets. Like, I don't know. I think the only direction it can go is down with Ridley coming there. Like, maybe it goes to like 88 and then.
I think there's a lot of space created with Ridley too. You could stay. I could see it staying at similar levels. Honestly,
he also only had 4 touchdowns last year. Ingram, you could expect that to go up a bit.
Can you?
Possibly.
I think so. He was tight end 5 last year on 4 touchdowns. I mean, hey.
Yeah, but tight end 5 last year. I mean, Mandrews got hurt. Who else? Darren Waller got hurt. I expect both of them to finish above Evan Engram.
Yeah, I mean, he only had 175 points, but like, I mean, he's been consistently at around 600 to 700 yards when he's healthy. I mean, I just could see that. I could see him putting up more than what he had this year. I mean, I just think the offense is, it could be really good. I think they could continue to pass the ball a lot. I think, yeah, they did draft another running back, but Tank's got great hands as well. They say Etienne's going to get involved in the passing game. Obviously, those numbers are kind of shared with the tight end, but I still think Evan Engram could put up good numbers. I think the rookie tight ends are still risky bets, kind of where they're laid out in the dynasty landscape right now.
Kincaid or Engram? Kincaid or Evan
okay,
Engram.
Okay. I'm taking Kincaid. That's a different rookie tight end. I was talking about the other two, Laporta yeah, and Mayer. I mean, Kincaid, you have a fantastic quarterback role. Everything like you first round draft capital you could dream of. I'm not like, I mean, Evan Engram's got first round draft capital.
Let me ask all of you guys or both of you guys these questions. Okay, we're just gonna go for all the tight ends and we'll see where Evan Engram lands. Obviously Kelce over Evan Engram. I assume you guys are both on that train. Mark Andrews over Evan Engram.
I was only saying the rookies. All the other guys I would take above him.
Kittle, Waller, Hockenson, Pitts, Goddard over Evan Engram.
Yeah.
No.
Kincaid over Evan Engram.
I think what I'm saying here.
I take Olsich over Evan Engram.
I think the say I would probably take.
I take Freiermuth. I take Freiermuth over Evan Engram.
I think what I'm trying to say here is that the move with some of these guys is that Freiermuth is valued higher than Evan Engram. But I think Evan Engram has a good chance of putting up more points than Pat Freiermuth this year.
I disagree.
And in subsequent years. So I think what you would do here is you would take you have Pat Freiermuth, you go to the Evan Engram owner and say, hey, like Freiermuth for Engram in like a second and see what that gets you.
I disagree.
You wouldn't do Evan Engram in a second for Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, I would trade Evan Engram in a second for Pat Freiermuth. Yes.
See, I would be slamming the accept for the second in Engram.
Oh, I'm completely on the opposite side of that.
I think we had these players to do this hypothetical.
Me too. I think Pat Freiermuth is elite. I don't think Evan Engram is. Evan Engram just like
Pat Freiermuth.
He's a very athletic tight end, but there's a lot of very athletic tight ends.
Are you talking about Engram?
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't think Freiermuth
has the athleticism to, I mean, I'm not exactly sure where his RAS score was. It looks like he didn't participate in the combine. Freiermuth
is an elite target getter as well, though. I mean, that he had 98 targets as well as just a second year tight end. Obviously Engram did do that really early too, but kind of took a few years off. But I mean, I like the age gap that you have 4 years difference with Pat as well. You have no real ambiguity with new wide receivers coming in.
Evan Engram last year was tight end 14 in target share. He was tight end 14 in target share, and I think that target share can only come down. There's no way that target share increases with Calvin Ridley coming into the offense.
Okay.
Whereas, so the guys that were earning targets at a higher share, I mean, Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, Travis Kelce, Tyler Higbee, T.J. Hockenson, Cole Kmet, Dallas Goedert, George Kittle, Dalton Schultz, Pat Freiermuth, David Njoku, Zach Ertz, Greg Dulcich, then Evan Engram. I expect Darren Waller's target share to go up this year because he's actually going to be healthy. So Darren Waller will jump into that group as well. Dalton Kincaid will probably jump into that.
Not going to be a top 10 tight end this year.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't have Evan Engram at the top 10 tight end. Let me see where I have Evan Engram ranked. I'm completely out on Evan. I see a lot on Twitter like, oh, Evan Engram, like, why is he getting drafted so late? And it's like, I think he should be getting drafted even later. I have him.
So you think last year's tight end 5 was just a product of injuries as opposed to anything about him?
Yes. And like in his rookie season, he was tight end 5 as well. He's been tight end 5 before. I have an Evan Engram at tight end 12, so right there. But I think he finishes. Yeah, Evan Engram tight end 12 feels about right for him. I think his price is what right now. He's tight end 12 in Dynasty. He's tight end 12.
Yeah.
So I think he's correctly priced. He's not some like screaming buy.
Okay. Yeah, I think that Evan Ingram's gonna have a great year this year. I think he'll be a top 8 tight end.
Jags are overrated.
Let's settle then. All right, Josh, who's your wide receiver so I can eviscerate you?
Well, I've been saying it all offseason. I'm going to say it again. My wide receiver is Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims is far and away my guy. There's only been four. There's only been four wide receivers in the past 10 years to have an EPA per play in college over 1.0. Those four receivers are CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, and Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims is a dog. He runs the nine. He has like the seventh highest passer rating or route percentage on the nine route. The quarterback that throws the nine route the most is Russell Wilson, so it's a perfect situation for Marvin Mims. Expect him to have a few games where he kind of pops off because he is the clear wide receiver three there. Tim Patrick, unfortunately, tore his Achilles. Marvin Mims should be an absolute beast this year. You can get him super, super cheap. I got him at like the back end of the second in some of my rookie drafts, which is absolutely absurd to me. So I'm excited for Marvin Mims this year. I think he's going to be one of those guys where next year it's like, how the hell did you get Marvin Mims at the back end of the second? Because he should not have been going that late.
I think in Dynasty, Mims' value is going to go up a lot, but I do think it's going to be hard to consistently start Mims as currently the clear wide receiver.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. We're Dynasty Pod though. So like sure, he's going to skyrocket in value.
100%. I agree. I do think there's going to be some big blow up games. We could see the Broncos potentially moving on from one of their wide receivers next year. But yeah, it's just right now this year might be pretty inconsistent. Best ball, I'm all in on Marvin Mims. I got a lot of Marvin Mims. I think there's going to be some very good games because of what you said, the nine route love from Russ and his ability to win. And there's going to be some great games from him, I think, for sure. But I think they'll be pretty inconsistent this year, and then we'll see him really take a step forward next year when he has a little bit more command in this offense and a bigger role.
Okay, because, I mean, like, I agree. Like, Marvin Mims, he's going to be a little bit harder to start in managed leagues. So I will switch my wide receiver, my guy for this season. I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is going to be an absolute stud this year. Jalen Waddle's a beast. The Dolphins are going to be nice. Jalen Waddle's going to have the year three breakout.
Gotta defend your guy.
Jalen Waddle's going to be filthy this year. Love the Dolphins this year. Love Tua this year. And I've been saying it all offseason in our unending rebuild group chat. There's a non-zero chance that Jalen Waddle usurps Tyreek Hill as the wide receiver one for the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, it's a non-zero chance. 1% is non-zero.
Braxton Berrios, non-zero chance.
I genuinely think there's like a 15% chance that Jalen Waddle is the wide receiver one for the Dolphins here.
Do you mean on the depth chart or do you mean fantasy context?
Fantasy points.
Gotcha.
So then there's a 15% chance.
More than 1% chance, yeah.
Then Jalen Waddle has more fantasy points than Tyreek Hill this year. Tyreek Hill gets drafted in the first five picks. Jalen Waddle goes in the mid-second. And I think Jalen Waddle is only going to ascend in value in Dynasty. I'm super excited for him. He's going to be a beast. He's going to have that true year three breakout into the elite tier because he's still slightly getting disrespected, I think. He's not considered one of those top, top guys yet.
I'd be telling you how wrong you are, but I think we got to wrap up soon.
No, I mean, like, he's a beast. Like, his second year, he was wide receiver 8. He going into year 3, he really could take a step forward. I don't think he's going to be better than Tyreek. Tyreek's just too fast, too good.
15%. 15% chance.
hey, there's a real chance they're both top 5 because they're like that. This offense is
super dominated. Like that.
And they're just like that. And Tua can get them the ball in open space, and they can outrun every single other player on the field.
Guys, I think we have 5 minutes. Do you want to rip it apart? Rip out my
Jalen
Waddle, my guy.
Jalen Waddle's a dumbass, like horrible football player. The only thing I wanted to say though is I respect the Dolphins so much for just being like, we have two stud wide receivers. Fuck every other wide receiver. Fuck all of our tight ends. Just get the ball to Hill and get the ball to Waddle, and then like kill Raheem Mostert, and that's the game plan. And I respect that because they know it works. Like, why would you give the ball to Durham Smythe if you got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill? Like the goal should be to get them 20 catches a game each, and
Well, there was that game against the Ravens where Tyreek had like 16 receptions. Jalen Waddle had like 17 receptions. They both went off for like 40 points.
Just give him the ball. Remember Waddle's rookie season when they would just give him like these like shitty short routes?
He had over 100 catches as a rookie. It's crazy.
I know. They would just give him like these worst routes ever for like utilization of speed. It was just like forgot. Had, like you thought he was just like a slot god or something like that instead of like an elite yacker or just.
He had one of the lowest ADOTs in the league, and then the next season he has like the highest ADOT in the league.
Yeah, wasn't it like close to negative or like actually negative or something like that?
It was close. I think it was like his ADOT was like 2 or 3 yards. It was pretty close.
Love that. Love that. That's football right there. All right. Any other last comments? All right, everybody. Thanks for checking in for this episode of My Guys. I think maybe Deep Sleepers next week, but don't hold me to it. I'm getting some nods here. So we'll do Deep Sleepers next week for the AFC. Appreciate y'all checking in. And as always, keep up with us next week.